Engaging conversation on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Well, hi, friends. Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. Well, as you well know, the ministry and mission of Priests for Life is to activate the church to end abortion. This includes prayer. This includes preaching and counseling. This includes mobilizing God's people who come together to worship Him, to go out into the world and to save lives. And one of the many events during the course of the year that fits in perfectly with this goal, with this mission, is an effort headed up by our guests today. It's called the National Night of Prayer for Life. Now, many of you, I'm sure, have participated in it. We certainly have been promoting it for many years. And today, we want to let you know more about it and urge you not only to participate, but to promote it in any way that you can. We're joined by Mike Labasso and Ann Murphy. And Mike and Ann, thank you so much for being with us and for heading up this National Night of Prayer.
Thank you for
it. It's our privilege, Father.
Well, tell us about it. What is the National Night of Prayer for Life, and how did it get started?
Well, the National Night of Prayer for Life is a prayer apostolate begun by Ann Murphy over 30 years ago, beginning as an all-night vigil and then developing into a national prayer effort. Specifically, the effort is to bring back the culture of life into the United States of America through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, Our Lady of Guadalupe, and under the title of the Immaculate Conception. Ann can tell you some of the nitty-gritty of the origin of it, and then we'll elaborate further as we go along.
Sure, sure, absolutely. Ann?
Well, back in 1982, we started an all-night vigil every month for Our Lady of Guadalupe.
That was at Our Lady of Lourdes Parish.
Massapequa Park on Long Island.
In Long Island, right.
Yes, and I must add, it was also through the efforts of a very holy pro-life priest, Father Robert Mason, who was the pastor of that church at that time.
Okay.
And he was very open to, prayer efforts on the part of his parishioners and those who were in the pro-life movement to give a boost to the unborn.
Yes.
So we thank Father Mason for his leadership at the time.
Yes, and we started out as a little group of people. Father Driscoll, actually, Father Paul Driscoll, was the head of the
Family Life Office
in the Chancery. And he gave us permission to start this Eucharistic adoration all night for the unborn.
Mm-hmm.
And that had been going on for about, I think it was 8 years,
mm-hmm.
in 1990. I felt that Our Lady was telling me to make it go national.
Beautiful.
So, yeah, and it was, I felt that she was telling us Eucharistic adoration is what we needed. Back in 1531 to be exact, when Saint Juan Diego had his apparition, the Aztecs were sacrificing to the gods and making people give blood, you know.
Right.
And when Our Lady appeared, she appeared
as a mother. She
as
appeared
a mother.
With an unborn child, and the symbolism in the tilma
right.
that was given to Juan Diego, the picture on the tilma, indicates that she was pregnant. And at that point, the Aztecs, of course, interpreted the motherhood and the life that was within her. And in a sense, Our Lady was a monstrance for the unborn child, symbolizing the need for Eucharistic adoration that, you know, our movement has interpreted from that apparition.
Right.
So it really, we unite the apparition of Our Lady of Guadalupe with the title of the Immaculate Conception, and then go right into the next day, the Feast of Juan Diego, uniting those two feasts on behalf of the unborn.
All right, so this gives origin then to the date each year of the National Night of Prayer, which is December the 8th at night, leading into the early morning of December the 9th, which is the Juan Diego feast day.
The last hour in the United States here represents the hour that she appeared from in Mexico. From 12 to 1, we are across the whole country.
That covers the four time zones, Father.
Okay.
12 to 1 is the hour of unity, where every time zone in the United States of America is united in prayer for the sake of the unborn and to reestablish a culture of life.
Oh, okay. So in other words, in each time zone, people start at 9 o'clock. Is that right? And then they go for four hours.
9 to 1.
They're 9 to 1.
They're 9 o'clock to 1 o'clock, and therefore,
Eastern Standard Time.
Yes. Okay. I see how that works. That's very good. And, you know, I was thinking as you were telling me a little bit about the history, there were a lot of good things happening in the New York area right around that same time, because that time frame that you just described was the time frame that Cardinal John O'Connor came into the Archdiocese of New York. Of course, you're in the Diocese of Rockville Center, but he started, of course, the Sisters of Life there in the early 90s, and was also instrumental in starting the Priests for Life, because I was one of his priests, ordained by him right there in New York City as well. So this was all really coming to fruition in those very same years, and I think that's a beautiful piece of the history there. But as you say, you know, the history of this shows what good can happen with supportive pro-life priests. That's something that I always saw from the very beginning of my own ministry. When a priest steps forward and leads the people in prayer and preaches about abortion and shows people the power, the spiritual power of the various feast days that we have and of the intercession of our Blessed Mother, my goodness, what great things can happen. So once this started as a national campaign, tell us how then, I mean, give us a sense of now how much it has grown, because a few decades have passed by. What's the level of participation now that you see in the various churches around the country?
Well, as you mentioned, we sort of have gratitude to Cardinal O'Connor for beginning the pro-life efforts in New York. And we have over 20 parishes to this day because of his leadership who are participating in the National Night of Prayer for Life. On Long Island, of course, where it was founded, we have about 35 parishes participating. The latest tally, we had a parish adding this morning to make it 35. We were happy to hear that.
Good.
And of course, many of the parishes adjust their time schedules based on the local needs or the clerical issues that take place in their parish.
Sure.
So a good number of them do 9 to 1, but some do 2 hours, some do like before their Mass on the Immaculate Conception. So it varies, but we do have a good number. We have 20 approximately in the Diocese of St. Louis, Missouri, very faithful diocese to the National Light of Prayer for Life. Pittsburgh, I just got notice yesterday that Bishop Zubik notified all of his parishes in Pittsburgh and passed all of our information on to them. We haven't gotten individual responses yet, but it was most recent that they were all notified.
Good.
We have in Anchorage, Alaska, a cathedral, and this could be a little anecdotal story related to the National Light of Prayer for Life. They have been participating for many, many years and are very proud to be the first to respond on an annual basis. It's the Cathedral of Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Oh, look at that.
Alaska, and that's no coincidence, I'm sure.
Right.
So a good number of places in Pennsylvania. We have a number of areas in addition to Pittsburgh. We have Westtown regarding St. Simon and Jude. We have in Virginia, Salem. We have Olathe, Kansas, Fargo, and Weeperton, North Dakota, Cedar Grove, Indiana. Just to give you a sampling, the mailing is reaching approximately 1,300. All of our bishops have been notified. Mm-hmm. And out of that 1,300, we believe there's anywhere between 300 and 700 parishes and individual organizations that sponsor it.
That is fabulous. You can just imagine the power of all that prayer and all that intercession. You know, the format, as you indicated earlier, I think it's very wise that there's this flexibility that you allow so that local pastoral circumstances can still permit the parishes to participate. But tell us something about the kinds of structures to the prayers. Do you have recommended prayer resources, or like if a priest or a lay leader or deacon came to you and said, okay, we want to do this, how do we do it? Give us an idea of how those 4 hours of prayer are usually structured.
Well, anyone interested can, of course, refer to our website, which is the nationalnightofprayerforlife.org. But what we usually do, we emphasize the main ingredients for the apostolate, and that is Eucharistic adoration and the Holy Rosary. For example, here at our local parish where the apostolate is based, for each of the hours, there is a mystery of the Rosary. And during that time, there are other prayers that are associated with the particular theme that is announced for that time. For example, the first hour is the Annunciation. However, because it is occurring on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, we're sure to get in also the consecration to Jesus through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, as proposed by St. Louis de Montfort, because our church promises a plenary indulgence.
Yes.
This is a tradition within the church. If the consecration is done on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception.
Uh-huh.
So the apostolate includes various traditional prayers and devotions during that four-hour period. We go on, of course, to the various mysteries. For example, when we do the Sorrowful Mystery for the second hour, we incorporate various hymns related to that, as well as the Stations of the Cross,
right,
integrated within the Rosary. So we usually begin, of course, with the exposition of the Blessed Sacrament. The Rosary is throughout the night with various devotions included. And then we always recommend that it end with benediction of the Blessed Sacrament.
Beautiful. Well, I'm just delighted that this has continued to grow. We will certainly be promoting it heavily as we get closer to the date. And tell our listeners and viewers again the website that they can connect with.
The website is nationalnightofprayerforlife.org.
Okay.
Our mailing and on the website, there are phone numbers that you could call for additional resources. And we also list Priests for Life as a link to provide various resources and information regarding not only this apostolate, but of course, the establishment of the culture of life.
Well,
there are also special phone numbers to register that they're participating in the mission as well.
Yes. Well, we appreciate you adding Priests for Life there. Of course, we have many prayers and that could be used also. And of course, the resources we provide for the priests and deacons for their preaching on this topic if they give a homily during the course of those hours. And we just want to be supportive of of all of our parishes, our clergy. You know, God bless them all, because they, you know, they hold such an influence, and they can save so many lives when they step up to the plate and do something like this. So that's what we want to do. We want to encourage everyone to participate and everyone to be involved. And check with your own parish, brothers and sisters. Mention to them the National Night of Prayer for Life. Maybe your priest and deacon does not know about it, and you can be the bridge to making it happen. Let them know about it while there's still time for them to do this. This year, December 8th, into the morning of December 9th. So, Mike and Ann, any final thoughts that you want to leave with our viewers?
Yes, Father, I would just like to say thank you for your great help.
Thank
but
you.
Also, if there's anyone out there that does not have a local parish or organization that is sponsoring it, and they are unable to travel to one, we suggest that they conduct their own prayer vigil at home in unity with all of the other missionaries, so to speak, throughout the country who are carrying out the National Night of Prayer for Life. Even one household doing this will save an unborn.
I agree. That's a great and excellent idea. And thank you also.
Oh, thank you, Father.
That's our foundress, Father.
That's right. You've been very faithful, and you know your faithfulness really is a good example to everyone in the pro-life movement, because a lot of times people have an idea, and to them it seems very small, and it starts out small. And yet God uses those simple ideas and ordinary people like you and me to do great things that can affect an entire nation. And that is what has unfolded with this National Night of Prayer. So we're very grateful to you both. We're eager to partner with you, and we will be doing so. And thanks for letting all our listeners and viewers learn more today about this National Night of Prayer for Life. And we will be in touch with you, and we will be praying for you as well. Thanks, and God bless.
Father, we'd just like to thank Our Lady of Guadalupe for allowing us to participate, because it really is her project.
It's her project. And why don't we conclude then by praying to her and asking her intercession. Let's pray together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the unborn, pray for us. And now may the Lord send you his blessing, his peace, and his protection, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Ann Murphy and Mike Labasso of the National Night of Prayer for Life, thank you again,
thank you
and
so
God
much.
Bless.
Thank you, Father. God bless you.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.